I know that we've got a funeral to go to after a while, and I'll try to get you out by 2. So I want you to pray for me that God will just have His way. If you're a minister or if you're a Sunday school teacher, you're going to understand what I'm fixing to say. There's times when I get up to preach and I know without a shadow of a doubt that God has spoke to me. Then there's times I'm simply operating in faith with a Logos word. Amen. It's simply the Word of God. How many of you know, no matter what, it's still the Word of God? I came in this morning and I feel like I had missed God. I feel like that I had a word that I had studied all week and I had prayed all week and I had begged God for a message. Amen. And I felt like I had missed God. But when they got up to sing that last song, I realized that I haven't missed God. I'd like to preach to you this morning something else. I really would. I would like to preach something where everybody would be jumping the pews and you would be swinging from the chandelier. I'd like to preach something like that this morning. Amen. But I feel like that this morning is the word that God has for this service and this time for a special individual in this house this morning, or maybe 2 or 3 individuals, or maybe somebody over the internet that's going to listen to this message or listen to this message later on, that this is going to go out and it's going to touch somebody. Amen? So if you got your Bible, go to Revelation chapter 20. And when you get there, say amen. We've got one that has got there. If you can't find Revelation, it's been a long time since you opened your Bible. Amen? Revelation chapter 20. And I want you to flip to John chapter 3. I don't know how I arrived at this message, but I'm just trusting God this morning to do what He does. Amen? God is such an awesome God. He's an amazing God. And I said this the last time that I preached, that God knew you from the foundation of the world. It's going to take me longer to read my scripture this morning than it will to preach this message. I've got a short message. Try not to keep you long. I know you're calling me a liar now. I do this all the time. Amen. But I think that God has got a word for somebody this morning, and I just want to get it over to you. And let God do what He does. Amen. So in Revelation chapter 20, like I said, be reading a lot. Turn to John chapter 3 also. Revelation chapter 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the keys of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut it up, and set a seal upon him that he should not deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast nor his image, neither hath received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hand, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and they shall reign with him 1,000 years. John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it come or whither it go. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Now, I'd like to use this title this morning, and I stole this title from an old preacher friend of mine. He's dead and gone on to be with the Lord. And I would go into church a lot of mornings, and if he was preaching, I'd say, What are you preaching on this morning, brother? And he said, Hell's hot and the gun barrel straight. Amen. And that's the title that I'd like to use this morning. Hell is hot and the gun barrel is straight. Amen. Now, I know this ain't popular in the day in which we live, and preaching on hell ain't what people want to hear. Amen. But you know, I have a responsibility that God has called me to preach. And every time that I get behind this stand, I'm responsible for what I say and what I do. Amen. So you bear with me this morning and just hear what God's got to say. Amen. I said, hell is hot and the gun barrel is straight. In other words, hell is a real place. This is not a myth. This is not symbolic. This is a real place. Amen. And people are still going there every day. The Bible said that hell is enlarging its mouth daily. What does that mean? That people are still dying and people are still going to hell. Amen. Praise be. So I want to give it to you gun barrel straight this morning. I'm going to give it to you as straight as I possibly can. So when you leave here this morning, you're not going to be wondering what that pastor was trying to say. Because I'm going to give it to you just as straight as I can. Amen? Now I know that it has been said, how can a loving God send anybody to a place like this? Amen? God don't send nobody there. If people go, they'll go by their own choice and their own will. Amen. Praise be unto God. You don't have to go there because God has made a way. Amen. If a person chooses to go there, it's his own decision. For God has made a way. He gave the spotless Lamb, His Son, Jesus Christ, to take away the sins of the world. The Bible said that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. That is an awesome thing, and that is an awesome thought, that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you know what I really want to preach about this morning? What I really want to preach about this morning is what you've got to look forward to if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. If we got any saints in the house of God this morning, that you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. Amen? God is such an awesome God. Amen? That's what I really want to preach on. Amen? But you know what? We've got to take care of the first before we can enjoy the second. Now, in our text, John said, I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain was in his hand. The key represents authority, and the chain represents imprisonment. Do you know what God's going to do to the devil? Amen? He's going to bind that devil, amen, and he's going to throw him in the bottomless pit, and he's going to be there for a while. Is anybody get excited about that? Amen. I don't know about you, Brother Johnny, but the devil aggravates me. The devil messes with me, and he messes with my mind on a daily basis. When I get up in the morning, he's alive. Amen. When I go to bed at night, he's still there, gnawing and picking at me. Amen. But one day after a while, that sucker's going to get booted off into the pit of hell, and I'm excited about that. Amen? Oh my goodness, God is such an awesome God. So he said, I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key, and he had a chain, and he bound the devil for 1,000 years. So through the authority of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior and our God, guaranteed that Satan will not be able to tempt His people for 1,000 years. Can you imagine going 1,000 years without the devil aggravating you? I'd just like to know what it's like just to get through one day with him aggravating me, amen. But we gonna get to live 1,000 years without the devil aggravating us, amen. Hallelujah. So can you imagine what it's going to be like? Can you get a vision of what the church is fixing to go through? Amen. Can you get a vision of what God is fixing to do? Pray verses 1 through 3, and I'm going to try to hurry. Satan is bound, but at the end of the 1,000 years, he will be loosed a little season, released for his last brief rebellion against God. And that's a whole other message for a whole different time. But in Revelation chapter 4, John now sees people enthroned in heaven with authority to rule. Did you know that you're going to rule and you're going to reign with Christ and you're going to have authority? Amen? You're going to be in a position of authority. How many of you are glad that God has chosen you and God has called you and you're going to be in a place of authority to rule and to reign? If you can't get excited about that, I suggest you get in this altar this morning and get something figured out. Amen? Praise be unto God. So these are the saints of the church age who will reign with Christ as His bride. So it's important what you do down here. How you manage what God has given you here on this earth determines your position of rule and authority in the kingdom of God, in the millennial kingdom. So what you do down here, and I've said this 1,000 times, what you do down here is important on a daily basis, because what you're doing is going to establish your position of rule and authority in the millennial kingdom. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, amen, but I want to do everything I can do for the kingdom of God. Amen. I want God to put me in a position that I can help people. Amen. When we get called to preach, Brother Steve, we're called into the ministry because we've got a heart for the sheep. If you ain't got a heart for the sheep, then you can't be called into the ministry. Amen. You got to have a heart for God's people that you want to help them. You want to see them healed. You want to see them whole. But most of all, you want to see them saved. Amen? Hallelujah. Where am I at? Then John sees another group of people. It's a company of martyrs who refuse to take the mark of the beast. These are clearly tribulation saints who died for their faith. Now, I feel like and I believe that the next greatest event on God's calendar is the rapture of the church. Amen? That's what I really believe. The next great event is going to be the rapture of the church. And I ain't got it all figured out, Matt, and I don't know how it's going to take place. But the Bible said there's going to be a trumpet sound. Amen? And the dead in Christ is going to rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. I said, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Hallelujah. How many is ready for change in their life? I can just imagine. Maybe I'm driving across that old dusty yard in that forklift, and all of a sudden, something begins to take place, and gravity turns loose, and I rise up out of that lift, and I drop off of this old flesh suit, and I look down, and things are starting to change. Amen. And I put on that glorified body that God has prepared for me. Oh, hallelujah. I'm excited about that. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it might happen this morning. Amen. Before I can get out of them doors, we might hear a sound like you've never heard before in your life. And it may turn loose of you. Oh, my goodness. Somebody better pray. We might be here a laugh or two. Oh. Now, this is for all the people that don't believe in the rapture. Did you know that there are people out there that don't believe in the rapture? They don't believe there's going to be a trumpet sound. They don't really believe that the church is going to leave. That's just too far-fetched. That's just too out there. Amen? But I believe this word. I believe it from front to back. And if He said that we're going to be snatched away, I believe what He said. Amen? There's also people out there that believe. Well, I know enough about the Bible. And when I see the tribulation taking place, I'm going to know what's going on. You know what's going to happen during tribulation time? Israel's going to sign a peace treaty, amen, with the devil. It's going to be a 7-year treaty that he's going to sign with them. But right in the middle of that 7-year treaty, at 3.5 years, all hell is going to break loose. Amen? And they're saying, well, I'm just by God tough enough that I can deal with it. I'm just able to get through it because I know what's going on. And this is what I'm going to do. If the rapture of the church take place, then I'm just going to get through it. You better rethink what you're thinking, amen? Because you ain't never seen no hard time if you go through the tribulation period. The Bible said it'd be a time like men have never seen before. There'll be famine and pestilence and earthquake. There'll be disease and men will be scorched from the sun, amen? Because of what's going on this earth. If you were here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I wouldn't wait another day. I wouldn't wait another minute because you don't know when the trumpet's going to sound. Amen? Hallelujah. John said, I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus Christ and for the Word of God. Amen? I wonder if you could really deal with this situation. Maybe you got little old babies. And maybe they're starving to death. I got kids and I got grandkids. And boy, I love them grandkids. And I got a little baby girl on the way. Amen. And I can't wait till she gets here. But I couldn't deal with it. I could not deal with them little babies sitting there starving to death. Amen. You know what I'd do? I'd give in to the devil. I'd say, just give me something I can give to my baby. Just give me a gallon of milk or maybe just a little cornmeal. Something I can give to them. Amen. But there's going to be people during the tribulation are going to sell their souls. Amen. But he said, I saw them that were beheaded for the witness of Christ and for the Word of God. You know, we got it made. God, we could just get together this morning and come into God's house and sing praises unto Him and some old crazy preacher and get up here and jump and snort and holler, amen, and run around and preach the gospel and nobody really cares. But during those times, if you're going to preach the gospel, you better have a more than a Sunday morning religion. If you're going to carry the Word, you better have a more than a little bit of feel good or a little bit of do better. Amen, you better have something a little bit extra. I'm going to try to hurry on. You say, Pastor, that's depressing. Give us something to shout about. Well, I've got some good news for you this morning. You don't have to go there, and you don't have to go through it. Amen? Because Jesus has made a way for you to miss it all. Jesus has made a way for you to enter into the kingdom of God. As they sang that song a while ago, Jesus paid the ultimate price. It's as simple as falling off the log, just accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. Amen? It's real simple. See, we're living in a time when people have forgotten how precious salvation is. We have. We've been in this way so long. Things has been so good. How many of you realize we got it good? Man, we have got it made. And we have got so used to being Christian. And we have forgotten how precious salvation is. Well, the church now can't even hardly rejoice when somebody else gets saved. They can't do it. Amen. People come down to the altar and they give their hearts to the Lord, and we just take it nonchalantly. Just a common everyday event. Amen. But how many of you know that the Bible said that the angels are rejoicing in heaven over one lost soul that comes to know the Lord? Amen. If the heaven's angels are rejoicing, we should be rejoicing with them. Amen. God has got a plan and God has got a purpose, and the call is still going out. I got to go. But then John says in verse 6, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power." Now it's been said that born once, you die twice. But if you're born once, did I get that right? Born once, you die twice. Or you're born twice, you die once. Now think about that for just a minute. Now some of you will get that when you get home. Amen? John told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Amen? But Nicodemus said unto Jesus, "How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" In 1956, I was born into the Williams family. Amen. My mom and daddy brought forth the prettiest little old baby mama said she ever had. Amen. And she had 10 or 11. Amen. And she said I was the prettiest baby she ever had. I was born into the Williams family. I got Williams blood flowing through my veins. Amen? Man, I can move to a foreign country and I can change my name to anything I want to. And they can call me whatever they want to. They can call me by whatever name they choose to. But I'm a Williams and I'll be a Williams, amen, until I leave this world. But about 30 years later, on a Tuesday morning, I got down beside an old yard sale bed and I called out upon God and I was born into the family of God. And there's royal blood flowing through these veins. Now the devil calls me a lot of things. He calls me a loser. He calls me a failure. He calls me a hypocrite. And he can call me anything he wants to. But then when a trumpet sounds, he can call me gone because I'm leaving. Amen. He can call me gone, amen, and I'm going to look over my shoulder, and I'm going to wave bye-bye, and I'm going into the kingdom of God, where I'm going to live and reign for 1,000 good years. Amen. Anybody ever had them good weeks? Man, Monday was good. Oh, God, you had a good week. Monday was good. Amen. And Tuesday's good, and Wednesday's good, and Thursday's even better, and Friday's good, amen. But can you imagine what we're fixing to experience on this earth right here? We're fixing to experience 1,000 years of peace and pleasant and goodness and with the King of Kings and with the Lord of Lords. Because we're going to live and we're going to reign with Him. Amen? Praise be unto God. I was born into the family of God. Then Jesus said again in John 3 and 5, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now, I'm not going to get into a debate about this verse of Scripture. And there's a lot of interpretations. And if you've got yours and that's what God showed you, that's good. You stick with it. Amen. But I got my own interpretation. Amen. Of being born of the water and the Spirit. But I'll just simply read the next verse. "He that is born of the flesh is flesh. And he that is born of the Spirit is spirit." Amen. Praise be unto God. Man can only reproduce human life. Amen? Me and my wife, we've been blessed with the ability to reproduce human life. That is a miracle in itself. Amen. If you don't believe in miracles, you go in a delivery room sometimes and you watch that little baby be born into this world, and I promise you, you'll start believing in miracles. Amen. But God blessed us with the ability to reproduce. I got two good boys. Man, they're good kids. They took after their mother. But you know what, Matt? I can only reproduce human life. I've done everything I could to get my boys into the kingdom of God. I've done everything I could to get them into the kingdom. I try to raise them right. I try to let them see Daddy praying in front of them. I try to let them see Daddy up early in the morning studying His Word. I try to let them see me living a pretty good life. And I failed them. They'll be the first to tell you. Amen. But I did everything I could. But I can't do it, Matt. When they come to the age of accountability, they realize that Daddy can't get me there. Amen. I've got to make a decision on my own. And that decision is that I must be born again. Hallelujah. I'm thankful. Praise be unto God that my boys have got into the kingdom of God. Amen. I'd rather have them in the kingdom of God as going to Harvard. I'd rather have them in the kingdom of God than going to USC. I'd rather have them in the kingdom of God than anything else this world has to offer. Amen. Hallelujah. So, there's a requirement placed upon the shoulders of every individual born into this world. Verse 7 says the requirement is, you must be born again. You can't get there by chance. You can't get there by happenstance. You can't get there because your daddy's a preacher or your mama is a good woman. Amen. It is placed squarely upon your shoulders and upon your responsibility to be born again. But I will say this. Amen. What am I going to say? Then John says something real strange. He says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it come or whither it goes. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Amen? In other words, I can hear the sound of the wind. But I can't see where it come from. And I don't know where it goes. Amen? And the Bible said, the same thing with the Spirit. Amen. I don't know where the Spirit's going to come from. And I don't know where it's going to go. And I don't know who it's going to set on this morning. Amen. But I promise you, if you're in this house this morning, if you're listening over the internet, you're going down the road in your car, sometimes, and you hear this message, and you feel something blowing up on you. I never will forget, amen, when we first got decided that we were going to come to know the Lord, me and my wife, we was in real trouble. We had some problems, and we had some issues, amen. And we decided our best avenue was to come to know the Lord. Amen. Now, I was raised in church. Mama brought me up and carried me to church, and I knew a little bit about the Holy Ghost. Amen. But my wife wasn't raised in church, and she didn't know that much about the Holy Ghost. Amen. But we come into the house of God that Sunday morning, and we sat there, and the little old preacher got up and began to preach, and something set upon her. That Holy Ghost. And she looked at me and said, what's wrong with me? And tears running down her eyes, man. And she said, what's wrong with me? That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Spirit of God You don't know where it come from, and you don't know where it went. All you know is it come by and it sat down on you. Amen. And it's calling you out. Amen. For a great purpose. If I was here this morning and I felt that tugging at my heart, amen, and that's the Holy Spirit knocking at your heart's door saying, come on. Come on and just be a child of God. Come on and get into the kingdom of God. Come on and miss hell. Come on and miss tribulation. Come on and miss all this terrible stuff that's coming up on this earth. Ron, if you'll come to the piano, I'm coming to a screeching halt right here, amen. This is as far as I feel like I need to go. If you'll stand to your feet all over the house this morning, I hope that everybody in this house is saved this morning. I hope that you made a conscious decision one time in your life when the Holy Spirit come by and sat down upon you and breathed upon you and knocked at your heart and called upon you, that you come to know Him. But I'm afraid, let me rephrase that. I'm assured that God don't send a message like this to preach to a room full of people that's saved. I know it's getting late, but it's getting later than we think. If you're sitting there this morning and you're hearing this and you say, well, I think I'm saved, you're lost. If you're sitting there this morning and you're thinking, well, maybe I'm saved, you're lost. Because the Bible says that we can know. I promise you, if you ever get saved, Every time the devil tells you, oh, Brother Gary, you're too emotional. You get caught up and you get too excited and you're not really saved. Before my mind goes back to a Tuesday morning. My mind goes back, Matt. That little old bitty house. I can still see it today. Walking down that little old hall about that long and getting down beside that bed and with just a few simple words of prayer, my destination was changed. And God can do the same thing for you this morning. I promise you that life ain't been perfect since I got saved. But it's a whole bunch better than it was before I got saved. Amen? So as she plays, Misty, you got something you want to say? As she softly plays, I want every head bowed and every eye closed. I want you to get you a vision of this. I want you to get a vision of you going through your everyday life. And I want you to imagine that the trumpet sounded and I want you to ask yourself, do I know that I'm going? Or something happens between now and when I get home that I have to go out and meet the Lord, am I going to be all right? If I couldn't say without a shadow of a doubt, I'd make my way down to this altar. Is there somebody here this morning that you'd like to come and call upon the name of the Lord as Lord and Savior of life? We got one coming. Got one coming. Somebody else. I wouldn't mess around. I wouldn't gamble on eternity. I wouldn't gamble on I'm going to make it till Wednesday night. I wouldn't gamble on I'm going to make it till next Sunday morning. I wouldn't gamble on eternity. Because when your number is called, you don't get another chance. You don't get another chance. It's over. Amen. So if I was here this morning and I didn't know, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.